You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
I'm Evan.
I'm Doyle.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Of my youth, when Doyle was just a little speck in his pappy's eye. How old are you, Doyle, anyway?
27.
27. Oh, gee. What I would give to be 27 again. Or 16.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people I've met say they would not ever go back and do it all over again. I would in a heartbeat. I would in a second. I would go back and do it all over again. I would even consent to lose all my memory and everything that I've ever learned. Mm-hmm. Because I had a wonderful childhood. I had a fantastic childhood. I had the perfect childhood and high school years. Yeah, you just could not possibly imagine a better time than I had when I was young and growing up and going through high school and all that stuff. And you know what I did? I forgot all the knives. You want to go get them? Oh, boy. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to have a guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who have subscribed to the Free American News Magazine, well, Clayton Douglas is going to be our guest tonight. He's going to be here. In fact, he's almost here. He should be here right around 7, maybe a little after. And we're going to just hustle him right in here to the studio and put him right on the air. His magazine is a nice magazine. I've been reading it ever since it started. He's been sending me copies. And I've been reading it. And it's a good magazine. He occasionally lets something slip in that maybe I think shouldn't be in there. But doesn't matter. It's his magazine. He can put whatever he wants in there. That's his free speech. I'm sure that he probably would say that every once in a while something slips into Veritas that he probably would not have published in Free American News Magazine. But we're going to have a good time. Clayton is a good man. He's done his best to deliver truth to the American people, and he's been doing it for quite some time. And he doesn't live too far from us. We're in Arizona. He's in New Mexico. So today he is in Arizona, and in about an hour, he will be on the air right here on the Hour of the Time with us. And I think you're going to find it very enjoyable. I've got to get something out of the way here that's a little distasteful, because I have just reached the end of my rope with a certain scum-sucking, puke-faced socialist creep named Kurt Lochner, who has been stalking, and folks, when I say stalking, I'm not kidding. In fact, we filed charges here in the state of Arizona against this person for stalking this family and for doing everything he can to try to libel us, slander us, hurt us financially, and in every way that you can think of imaginable. That was him last night trying to disturb, destroy, or damage the broadcast. He was the one calling in, putting his phone right in front of his speaker to give that terrible feedback. That's the person that we called Dodo Head or Poopy Diapers last night. Some of you thought that we were, because I got some email today that said, when somebody called in that disagreed with him, he called them Poopy Diapers and dumped them off the air. Well, you know, if you're a first-time listener, you might have thought that. But this person, Kurt Lochner, has been doing this for years. And it appears that, you know, he has no ethics, no morals, no sense of fair play. He can't call in and speak normally and debate facts or challenge us on anything that we've done honestly and above board. He always does things like that. I didn't cut him off. He hung up every single time. He hung up because he's a miserable little stinking coward. He always has been. And that you would not believe the problems that he has caused us. So I've had it. I have had it up to the top of my head. This man is engaged in libel and slander. He has purposely intended to damage us, cost us money and airtime, and a whole lot of other things. He is a criminal. And because of that, we're going to prosecute this piece of crap. And that's exactly what he is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm offering a $500 reward. I will personally pay $500 to anyone who can furnish me the correct name of the person known as Kurt Lochner, his correct mailing address. Now, you have to fulfill all of these to get the reward. You can't just give me one thing, okay? Correct name of the person who's known as Kurt Lochner, his correct mailing address, his correct physical address, the correct name of his internet server, the real email address or addresses that he uses, and it may be more than one server. We need his correct phone number or phone numbers, the address or addresses of his employer or employers, and the name, address, and phone number, correct, of his employer or employers. Anybody who can furnish us with all of that information, I will personally deliver to you $500. I'm a man of my word. You will get it. There's no problem with that whatsoever. And everybody who has never known me throughout my life knows that that will happen if you furnish me with all of that information. We're going to take this little rotten, puke-faced socialist creep down, and we're going to put him where he belongs. Okay, folks? So, with that out of the way, and I hate to do that, I hate to do it. I've wanted to do it years ago, and I've always talked myself out of it, but I've reached the end of my rope. There is no sense of fair play with this person. Whatever grudge he has against me personally has gone way over the edge, and now I'm going to take him down. And those of you who know me know that when I say I'm going to take this creep down, He is going to pay. He's going down. So, there it is. And I'll bet you anything, whoever furnishes this information will probably be somebody that he thinks is his friend. And that will give me great satisfaction. In one of the emails I got today, I get some interesting email, ladies and gentlemen. On the internet, there are all kinds of people. There are decent people who communicate in a decent, nice, polite manner, even if they disagree with you. And they will talk about facts. They will quote me verbatim. And they will challenge what I said. And they will put the reason why they don't think that I was right. And I will reply with why I think I was. And I will usually furnish some kind of documentation or sources. And sometimes they will too. And eventually we will reach some kind of understanding. If they prove that I'm wrong, then I go on the air, as I have always done, and I correct whatever it was that I was wrong about. And those people are a joy. They are intelligent. They care. They are polite. By polite, I mean, you know, like they were standing in front of you. And the reason I say that is because most of the things that people say on the internet, they would never say to your face if they were standing in front of you, because they might get a baseball bat across their nose. They are social misfits. They are psychotics. There's something extremely wrong with them. They cannot and will not conduct themselves in any kind of what normal people would call socially acceptable behavior. And if they ever said or did the things in front of anybody, to their face, that they do on the internet, they would have been dead, buried, and forgotten many, many years ago. And sometimes you just get things from people who misunderstand and don't really know what's going on. And one of those I got today. It's from somebody who has something to do with a college journalism class. Now, I don't know if he's a professor or if he's a student. I can tell you this. From the diatribe that I read complaining about what he heard on this broadcast last night and the misspelling of all of the words, I can tell you, even though I don't know whether he's a professor or not, I can tell you that if he is, he's going to get fired. Because he cannot hold an intelligent monologue. He can't present an intelligent monologue in writing, nor can he spell. And you know, one of the things that you must be able to do in order to teach students in college is spell. That's at the top of the list. And the second thing is you must be able to present a valid argument in a monologue in a decent period of time. He also resorted to invectives and name-calling and things like that. But basically, here's what he said. He accused me of being right-wing and of representing the right wing. Apparently, he did not understand the gist of last night's broadcast, which was all about freedom of speech. It had nothing to do with right wing. It had to do with the things that we all love and enjoy about being Americans in this country. And he said he was going to take this broadcast and play it to his students as an example of how the right wing is misinformed and misinforms its members. So I hope that he's taping tonight, and I hope that he tapes every night, and I hope that he follows through with actually playing the tapes back to his, quote, journalism, end quote, class. And, I would recommend that he stop calling it journalism class, because there are no journalism classes in this country. There are no journalists in this country. There are no reporters. There are Marxist spin doctors and Marxist-Leninist liars who claim to be journalists. And people who attend journalism classes today do not learn how to go out and practice real journalism or report the facts in newspapers or magazines or on radio or television, they learn how to engineer the minds of the public by spinning the news or only reporting on some subjects and not reporting on others. They call this shaping the mind of the future. They call this responsible journalism. Instead of reporting facts, they attempt to mold the minds of their readers and listeners in order to shape the future. That's called socialism 101, ladies and gentlemen. Socialists try to engineer society to create their utopian world. So, instead of listening last night as he should have done, or maybe he did, maybe he understood perfectly, maybe he is a rabid Marxist-Leninist, and maybe his whole diatribe aimed at me was intended to discredit freedom of speech. I don't think so, though. He wasn't that intelligent. He could not write an intelligent monologue directed at the subject of last night's broadcast, nor could he spell. So, here we go on tonight's subject. He also talked about right wing an awful lot. Apparently, he doesn't know what right wing is. He certainly doesn't know what left wing is, because it was apparent that he considered himself to be left wing. And the idea of freedom of speech was somehow repugnant to him. And he considered that to be extreme right wing. He thought that was something terrible that I was discussing last night. Something absolutely that nobody should be subjected to. So that should give you some idea as to whether or not this person is an American. Now, why am I singling him out? I'm not going to mention his name and embarrass him in front of the whole world, although he may deserve it. I won't do that. But I will explain a few things, because he, ladies and gentlemen, is not a minority in this country today. In fact, he is, if all of these elections in the last few years are telling us something about the American people, he's a majority. If what's happening in Washington, D.C. and across the country is indicative of what's happening in America today, he is a majority. And if he is a majority, then the principles and ideals which made this country, which created the United States of America, and set man free for the first time in the history of the world, are in danger. Terrible danger. Not from without. Not from some enemy across the seas. Not from some imaginary alien force and invading from outer space, a la Art Bell. No. From within. Maybe even in your living room right now, one of those people is sitting. Maybe somewhere in your home or in your family you have these people. You know who I'm talking about. And you know what I'm talking about. The old, let's divide and conquer. You see, his whole email message was full of the divisiveness or divisiveness, however you want to pronounce it, that is indicative of the sickness that pervades this country today. I'm not right wing. I'm not left wing. I am an American. I subscribe to the greatest liberalism that has ever occurred in the history of the world. The principles and ideals of the founding fathers of the United States of America that set men free, that created freedom for the common man. Even today, freedom is the greatest liberal idea that has ever existed, and it is in danger of extinction as I speak. If you call yourself a liberal and you don't understand that, then you're not a liberal. If you call yourself a conservative and you don't understand that, you don't know the meaning of conservative. The fact that you call yourself these names, the fact that you slice the population in divisive segments armed with words and politics and, yes, even violence against each other, means absolutely that you are not American, that you have no conception of what that word means. Liberal, indeed. Left-wing, indeed. Conservative, indeed. Right-wing, indeed. Libertarian, indeed. Up your nose with a rubber hose. You have no idea what you're even talking about. You're all full of crap. And what's more, I think most of you know it. It's always absolutely amazed me how people who have set out to destroy freedom in this world can become such chronic liars in their life that they all know that each other are lying. They stand there face to face lying to each other, and they all pretend like it's not happening. How absolutely disgusting can you be to your own self? It's one thing to lie to me. It's another thing to lie to yourself. And it's even quite another thing to stand toe-to-toe with someone who's just like you, who knows that you're lying to them, and knows that they're going to lie right back to you, and you all pretend like you're all telling the truth to each other. And you're the biggest liars and deceivers and manipulators that have ever lived upon the face of this earth. What makes you think that you're going to have some utopian world? What makes you think you're going to solve the problems of humanity when you can't even be honest with yourselves or with yourself? Where do you get off with this baloney? Oh, let's cut to the chase. Where do you get off with this bullshit? That's what it really is. Where do you get off with this stuff? How dare you tell me, a real American who really believes in freedom for all people, on all levels, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, rights guaranteed and protected for the individual. Where do you get off telling me that Pat Buchanan is right-wing when he's a fascist and everybody knows it? Where do you get off telling me that President Clinton is a Jeffersonian Democrat when Thomas Jefferson would have cut him down to his ankles and destroyed him in 10 seconds if he even heard any of the blabber that comes out of his mouth? Where do you get off convincing people that the modern democratic socialism is somehow connected with the great liberalism, the ideas of freedom that Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, Thomas Paine all espoused? Who the hell do you think you are? Do you think that we are all really that stupid that you can get away with this crap? Well, I got another thing coming for you, buddy. We're not. We are not at all. And we are not going to be. It's not going to happen. We are Americans. We understand the great principles and ideals which made this country great. We understand that these are the principles and ideals which set man free for the first time in the history of the world. And we also understand and know that if you chronic liars and deceivers get your way, that freedom will not be long for this world. We'll go down the tubes on a roller coaster, flush the toilet, there it goes, into the great cesspool, mixed with all of the old lies that have ever been bandied about throughout the history of the world. Right wing, left wing. You people are so easily confused, and you buy the lies, and you repeat them just as if you were born parrots, 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 parrots in a South American forest, and that's all you've ever been all your life. Somebody says, democracy, and you repeat, democracy. Democracy, 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 democracy. you don't even know the meaning of the word. Democracy is not something that's good. Democracy is rule by the mob. Karl Marx understood democracy. V.I. Lenin understood democracy. Joseph Stalin understood democracy. And Fidel Castro understands democracy. Karl Marx said, democracy is the road to socialism. V.I. Lenin said, democracy is indispensable to socialism. Karl Marx and Lenin both said, the ultimate goal of socialism is communism. Why? Well, you give the mob their head. You let them vote whatever they want. And remember, the majority always wins. And they will vote themselves everything until they have voted themselves into dependency under the state, which must provide all of these things, because they certainly can't. Because they're weak, whimpering simps. They want their diaper changed at 6 o'clock. They want a job provided for them at such and such pay. They want a guaranteed minimum wage. They want somebody to guarantee that they have a roof over their head and they have a meal in their belly. And they have a car to drive and they have a place to go. And they want somebody to take care of them and make sure they don't get hurt ever. And that if they invest their money and they lose it because they weren't wise, that somebody will bail them out and take care of, and, you know, reimburse them. Oh, shame, oh, shame. You see, that's the definition of teenager, if I ever heard it.
Yeah.
Right, Doyle?
Yeah.
Daddy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I got cold last night. Will you buy me a new blanket? Daddy, I need some money this summer. Will you help me find a job? Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy, I love you so much. Can I borrow the car? Yes, dear, you can borrow the car. But you can only take it at 7 o'clock, and you must be back by 7:15.
Oh, Daddy.
Well, you're living in my house, and you're eating my meals, and I'm taking care of you and making sure that you're safe, and I pay for all of the clothes that you wear, and I pay for your schooling and everything else, and I pay the taxes, and you can take the car at 7 o'clock, and you'll be home by 7:15.
Okay, Daddy.
That's what socialism is, ladies and gentlemen. It's for weak, simpering wimps. People who don't care about freedom, all they care about is security. They don't give a damn about freedom. They want somebody to wipe their butt, put on a fresh diaper, kiss them, assure them that everything's going to be okay, give them their bottle, and put them in a warm crib, and hug them when they cry, and hold them and rock them and tell them stories. Oh, God, please, save me from these children. You see, they are not adults. Cannot be, never will be. They are the people who will propel us back in the evolution of mankind through the societal struggling for man to become free and responsible, living under law, back to the days of enslavement, dependent upon a big brother, a dictator, a benevolent dictatorship, a council of wise men. I don't care what you want to call it. It's all the same. It's all the same. The ultimate achievement of all humankind was the establishment of the United States of America, which finally set man free and made him a king in his own right, with a government as his chattel servant. First time in the history of the world. And when that occurred, good people were able, because they were free, to set others free, to do away with the institution of slavery, to give women the vote, to make sure that everyone had a chance to be educated, to make available to all people, no matter their station in life, opportunity that they have never had in the entire history of this globe, to be and achieve whatever they were capable of being or achieving. And this became the greatest nation upon the face of the earth. This became the place where everyone else in the world, no matter their nationality, or their race, or their religion, wanted to come. This was the place where there was no religious persecution. This was the place where blacks could strive to be free. This is the place where hundreds of thousands of white people died so the black man could be free. This is the place where if you were not satisfied with your station in life, you could aspire to the highest levels of society or public office or academic achievement. Where people who came from a humble, poor background living in a shack with a dirt floor could become the owner of the largest corporation in the world. Don't believe it? Study the history of American industry. It's true. Right wing, left wing. Why do you buy into this baloney? Every scale measures two opposite extremes. Every scale. You cannot possibly have a scale with communism on the far left and Nazis on the far right. Especially when communism and Nazis are only about a hair's breadth apart. How in the world did they ever convince you that Hitler was right wing? How in the world did they ever convince you that the battle for control of Germany in the 30s was between the left and the right? When it was in truth a battle between two factions on the left. The battle for control in Germany in the 30s was between socialism and communism. There were no other contenders. Hitler was a socialist. Nazi literally means National German Socialist Workers' Party. 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 Nazi, 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 Nazi. How can you be so foolish? Socialism was created to propel the world into communism. It is admitted, it is written, it is explained, it is exposed in all of the writings of Karl Marx and B.I. Lenin, of Joseph Stalin, of Fidel Castro. It is no secret. How can you be so stupid? How can you be so stupid? First, you must have democracy. Democracy votes itself into socialism. The end goal of socialism is communism. It is written in every socialist tract that has ever been put to paper. How can you be so stupid? You see, this is not ignorance. This is stupidity, because all you have to do is pick up and read it. Most of you have a college diploma, were educated by Marxist-Leninist professors in the United States. And you damn well know it. You've bought the propaganda of the long-range plan. You see, the goal of communism has always been to rule the world. Rule the world. The New World Order is not a right-wing idea. You see, if you really have a true scale, and it must measure opposite extremes, then on the left, you have, at the very extreme of the scale, communism, which is the ownership and control of every person and everything within its grasp. The ownership and control of every person and everything within its grasp, where the individual means absolutely nothing and can be sacrificed for no reason whatsoever at any moment for what the state deems will benefit the whole. Where the state, which is an idea which exists only on paper, becomes more important than the human beings who created it. It is the ultimate despotism. It is the ultimate degradation. It is the ultimate enslavement of the human race. On the entire opposite end of the scale, on the right wing, is total and complete anarchy, the absence of all law and the absence of all control, where it is the rule of the strongest. The laws of the jungle. Hey, man, I like your shoes. Oh, really? Yeah, give them to me. Well, I'm not going to do that. Now I got your shoes. Because I'm bigger than you and I'm stronger. And if you get up off the ground, I'll kill you. That's anarchy. Anarchy sucks. 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 The far right wing sucks. Communism sucks. Sucks. Sucks! The far left sucks. All control is on the left. Always has been. Always will be. Dictators, fascists, socialists, communists, where somebody has to be taken care of and controlling somebody else all the time is all on the left. As you go more toward the right, there is less and less control. Until you reach the far right, which is total anarchy, is the absence of any and all control. That is the true scale, ladies and gentlemen. And all of these fascists in Washington, D.C., who are telling you they are right-wing and represent conservative ideas, are liars. Are liars. They want to control us all. They want to enslave us. So do the socialists. So do the communists. So do all those who want to be dictators. And all these little skin-headed idiots who haven't got a brain in their head running around saying that they're right-wing Nazis aren't right-wing at all. They're socialists. Nazi means National Socialist German Workers' Party. National German Socialist Workers' Party. I've seen it both ways, but that's what it means. Hitler socialized Germany. In just about every way that you can think of. Socialists are dangerous. They are also chronic liars. Karl Marx spelled out in his writings that lying was what you must do in order to achieve the socialist agenda. That you lie, cheat, manipulate, and deceive on every level to make those who would be free believe in your bullshit. Our founding fathers understood human nature, and they understood all of these things. You see, socialism wasn't born in 1920. Socialism existed before the United States was created. Socialism created almost all of the labor movement in this country. Not to really set the working man free and make him more comfortable. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen. Although it did make the life of the working man better than it was, and it tended to make for a while companies and corporations more responsible, but that wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose was to give socialism a foothold in America. And it did that. And as soon as socialism was finished with the labor movement, the socialists dumped it, got rid of it. And now the labor unions are weak, ineffective, and really don't have any real say-so anywhere in American business. Because the last thing the socialists want is for the workers to have any real power. Once the goal of the labor unions was realized, they were stripped of their power, stripped of their effectiveness, and all of the gains that the labor union had created throughout all those years were destroyed in one fell swoop over 2 or 3 years. This has always been the pattern of socialism, and always will be. When are you going to wake up? Oh, Lord, when are you going to wake up? Our founding fathers understood human nature. They warned us about all of these things when they created this nation. And knowing human nature, they sincerely believed that we would, at some point in the future, and almost all of them wrote about it, give up our freedom for security and the assurance of a chicken in every pot. They knew that. They wrote reams and reams and reams of pages and words and documents and essays and letters and books telling us what to look out for, what to beware of, what was going to happen if we were not eternally vigilant. They created a nation that was not left, was not right. It was not democracy, is not democracy, cannot ever be democracy. And when you hear politicians and prominent people and heads of corporations and school teachers and principals talking about this great democracy of the masses, those are two key words. When you hear someone say democracy and masses in the same sentence, you're looking at a Marxist, Leninist, socialist, communist, puke-faced, subversive traitor. Our founding fathers created a constitutional republic, and they even put it into the Constitution that we were guaranteed a republican form of government to every American in every state. Democracy indeed. You are sick. America is sick. There is a disease crawling throughout the body of this great country. It is called socialism. It will destroy us. It is destroying us. It has almost already destroyed us. And what do you want to bet this journalist is not going to take any recording of this broadcast and play it to his students in any American university? Because he can't afford for them to hear what I just said. How about that? Does that grab you? Well, I hope it does. Hope it grabs you good. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this short pause.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the great jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
Just the most incredible thing. I don't know how he does it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You'll never know who just dropped into the studio. It's Dr. Leonard G. Hoare. I'm sorry. That's the cover of the magazine. The publisher is here. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Clayton Douglas has just dropped into the studio, and he's going to be our guest for the rest of the broadcast, another 2 hours and whatever it happens to be, and we'll be taking your phone calls, and you can talk to me or him or Doyle. We're all going to be here. And Clayton publishes the Free American News Magazine, which he's been sending to me for years. I never subscribed to it, but I always get it. And by the way, thank you, Clayton, for that.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. I read it from cover to cover every time I get it, and it's a great magazine. Clayton, what are you doing in Arizona?
Well, it was more like climbing up to see you rather than dropping in here, Bill.
Well, we're
coming back from the Soldier Fortune Convention up there. We set up a booth there and
that was
enlightened a few people up in Las Vegas.
Ah, Las Vegas, yes. Or lost wages.
Lost wages, yes, would be more like it.
Did you lose any of your wages?
Not me, I don't gamble.
Well, I always, you know, do a little low stake gambling when I go, never more than 100 or 200 bucks.
I think I lost $5.
Well, now you
on the poker machines, you know that.
Now you're an honest, honest person.
Big spender here.
When people tell me they go to Vegas and they don't gamble, I always got to have a little snicker behind my hand there because I know there's some people who do that, but I don't know any. Never have known any, as a matter of fact. Clayton, why don't you tell our listening audience what your background is, where you came from, who you are, and what you're doing?
My background. Well, I'm just an old biker, didn't like to take orders.
And he looks like an old biker, too, folks.
And I happen to have a talent. I read a lot.
Uh-huh.
Not really a talent, more of a skill that most of our young folks today don't have.
Gee, that's one of my favorite things also. In fact, I may take you on a tour of the house later and let you see the great stacks of books that I leave all over the place. But go ahead, tell us, where are you from?
Well, born in Texas. Started traveling when I was 17.
How did you escape the Johnsonian socialism that has taken hold of what used to be one of the most anti-social, most American states in this country?
Well, I dropped out of school. I'm one of those people. I dropped out in the ninth grade. I changed schools.
Uh-huh.
I was in the ninth grade. I was a straight A student, Bill. A bookworm, if you can believe that.
I believe it.
I changed schools. I'm sitting in an English class. Haven't told the story to anybody over the radio. Sitting in an English class, a teacher comes up and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing my math homework." She said, "Well, you're supposed to be reading the story that I assigned to the class." I said, "I read the story. And I kept doing my math homework." And she started to getting more and more agitated.
She didn't believe you.
Well, you're supposed to answer the questions at the end of the chapter. And I reached into my notebook and I handed her the answers. She says, well, read the next story. And I said, I read the next story. And she said, well, answer the questions at the end of that. And I handed her the answers to the questions. And by this time, the woman's screaming at me. And I'm a new kid in school. You know, I don't know. I'm not used to this. I'm a little spoiled. She says, well, read the next story. And I said, look, lady, I read the whole damn book. Here's all of the answers to every chapter in the book. This is where I do my math homework. Because I work after school. And I don't have time to do it after school. This is the way I do it. And so I got expelled for saying damn.
Oh.
That's
what she boiled it all down to.
That's what it came down to. Well, I went to the principal, the vice principal. I'll never forget him. His name is Mandarin.
It's always the vice principal.
He says, well...
You don't see the real principal unless you shoot somebody.
And then it's always
with the police chief.
you have to take licks. And my answer to that was, I didn't do anything wrong. No, I'm not taking licks. And I don't think you can give them to me. Well, that's kind of what I got expelled for, I guess. Up until then, if I'd just taken my licks like a good socialist, then I would have been just fine. I would have probably still been in school, maybe graduated, maybe been a lawyer. I just have this thing about taking orders since then.
How far from the school was the Harley-Davidson shop?
Well, actually, it was a Mustang motorcycle.
Oh.
That was the first one.
Okay. I remember those.
And I graduated from the Mustang to the Harley after I got out of the Army. Well, I was gung-ho. I took the GED,
uh-huh.
Got my high school equivalent, joined the Army, and I found I still had a problem taking orders. had a sergeant, didn't think I was sick. I was part of the Leonard Horowitz, actually told me about it. I was part of the experiment, the vaccines. I was given spinal meningitis through the vaccines.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't think I was going to make it. And when they found out I was, the chaplain came in and said, well, son, we can have you on that next flight to Vietnam. And I said, well, you know, chaplain, I don't think I'll take orders from imbeciles and idiots ever again. Best thing you can do for me, put me out that gate, get me a discharge, because I won't salute anymore. I won't follow orders. And it took them about 2 weeks to realize I was serious, and about 15 officers that wanted to have me court-martialed because I wouldn't salute them. So they gave me a nice general discharge, lost my medical records, and then I got the Harley-Davidson.
Oh, okay. And then what did you do?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I bummed around. I sold things. I traveled all around the country. I set up companies because I couldn't get a job. You know, well, I didn't want a job. So without college, I didn't have a lot of marketable skills, so I set up companies. And I created distribution companies, set them up in various parts of the country, and made a few million here and there. Ended up in Florida sitting on a 28-foot Hatteras, gold pin rods and reels. I still got something left from it.
I see that.
And having a pretty good time until Waco. And after Waco, I just couldn't go. I couldn't ignore what was going on. You know, I had a sense.
How did you find out about Waco? Because different people found out different ways, and most people who just stuck to the establishment media never found out, never understood what happened there. How did you find out?
Well, it actually went back before Waco. When I heard George Bush, I remember I was coming out of my house, walking through the door, and I heard George Bush on television say something about the New World Order.
Uh-huh.
The hair on the back of my neck stood up. Had no idea why. It didn't mean anything. I didn't have the knowledge then. I hadn't gone in that direction.
Yeah, it was never explained. It was then. They were just words.
At the time, well, a few years before that, actually, I quit the distribution business. I told my wife I wanted to make my living writing. So I holed up for a couple of years in Florida and wrote a couple of novels, fiction novels. When those didn't sell immediately, like I thought they should have, I was caught between a rock and a hard place. I had to go to work to do something to bring money in. I didn't want to go back to where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Although I still have a lot of friends that are millionaires in that business right now. But I wanted to make my living writing. I had said that I was going to make my living writing. So I started a micro magazine. Somewhere about 2 years into that, I was in Sturgis, South Dakota, and a Vietnam vet gave me the Cotolo document. He gave me the Cotolo document in James Perloff's Shadows of Power.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two, it woke me up. I said, so this is how it works. This is why we had that war that we couldn't win. You know?
Well, see, I was
drug smuggling. I mean, that's what it was all about. Drug smuggling colonialism.
It was about a lot more than that. It was about the oil in the Gulf of Tonkin and the South China Sea and a whole bunch of
All came later. You know, I learned about that later when my eyes opened up. But then I even ran that. The Vietnam vet said, let's see how much guts you got. And he handed me the Cotolo document. I'm sure you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to make sure it was true. So I started researching through it. Went to Ayer, Massachusetts, and found the records of the Tyree trial and the Tyree murder. His wife was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found Tyree, and he opened my eyes a lot. We're still friends to this day. I found his mother. I found out everything in there, all of the drug smuggling, the people that they were dropping off. This was out before we had the Noriega trial.
Yeah.
So there's all the Noriega characters in a document that's been set on for 10 years by the National Security Agency.
Uh-huh.
A document addressed to Colonel Bo Greitz. So I read it. I ran it in a biker magazine. And just to make sure I didn't...
I ain't saying nothing about that.
We can go into that later.
I hate to kick
a man when he's down, but
we will go
then again, it's not a man if he takes a gun and points it at himself.
Well, not only that, but a man of his experience knows how to kill himself. And you don't do it by shooting yourself in the chest under the left clavicle.
I just left.
About 4 inches from the heart. I mean, you just don't do that.
I just left a Marine colonel.
Mm-hmm.
Got a wall full of medals. When I told him the story of Bo shooting himself, he started laughing. He said, "It doesn't happen that way."
I know.
If he had shot himself in the finger with a full-loaded 45, or a 45 with a full load, it would have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
The Hydroshock alone would have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
He emptied that bullet. Because 45, he says, "I shot enough Japanese that I can tell you that a 45 doesn't bounce off of a rib. It goes right through it and mm-hmm. comes out the other side."
That's why I carry a 45. That's exactly the reason why I carry one.
Why I threw my 9mm away. Had to shoot a damn deer 3 times.
Well, I carry one because I know if I have to shoot somebody, they're not going to get up. And I don't need more than one bullet to do it.
So this was another staged thing. It was funny today, Bill. I had an investigator on my show, Keith Johnson, from Biloxi, Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
who studied the Linda Wagon case and investigated Bogreitz. And he said on the show, now I come on an hour before Bo on WWCR. He says, and he did it in his best Bogreitz imitation. He goes, "Well, the Lord spared me for another mission." Now, I don't know whether Bo listens to my show or not, but an hour later, he came on the radio and goes, "God must have spared me for some reason, and so we're going to set up spike generals around the country."
Spike generals?
Spike generals. He's going to set up spike generals, regional spike camps, all over the country.
You know what the spike is, don't you?
I know what he says it is.
Well, I can't say it over there. But all of those people who have bought Grice's bologna are sitting on that spike, I can tell you right now. And one of these days, he's going to twist it, and they're going to understand exactly what it is and why they shouldn't be sitting
there. He has to kick it into high gear since his
life. Oh, hold on. I got to do this. All around the world, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Okay. Well, back to you.
Well, he's got to do something. His wife's kicked him out of almost heaven. Now, some people think that's a good thing because they think Claudia could take better care of them and protect them better than Bogreitz right now.
Well, I don't want to, you know, Bogreitz is one thing. Maligning or getting into his family or anything like that is something that I just never do. So.
Oh, I'm certainly not maligning Claudia.
No, but...
You know, I think she had the patience of a saint to stay with him for 22 years.
Well, you know, that's just another thing. I never get personal with people. I never call... in the way that other people like to do. I like to stick to the facts, and if we're going to talk about Bogreitz, I would prefer that we stick to what's really wrong and what we can nail this guy on, rather than getting into his family or anything else.
Well, the facts here is that he's conned people into buying into this property.
Yes.
And he's done it in by playing on their fears. Come here and I'll protect you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I find objectionable. You know, I certainly don't have anything to say bad actually I've got good things to say about Claudia. I think she was a great woman. And the people that are calling in now and on Bo's show
mm-hmm.
and trying to lay the blame of this on Claudia or absolve Bo over this, I don't think that's right at all. You know, there must be some reason that after 22 years, she refuses to talk to him. Now, I talked to Jack McLam, who had visited Bo in the hospital right after this, and he said that Claudia came there and wouldn't even speak to him. And you just have to wonder why. You know, this. I think it's over this Linda Wagon. I think she's heard him get up and lie about this woman and urge people to send this woman money again and again until she couldn't stand it. She just had to break away from it.
Yeah, well, you may be right. I don't know. The only people that know are Greitz and Claudia.
Well,
but he certainly has represented Linda Wagon in what I call one of the biggest con jobs that has ever trooped across America.
Bill, I've been an investigative reporter now for 8 years. I've been writing stories, investigating stories. And when I got taken in by Linda Wagon, too. You know, there's a lot of us did.
Not me.
I know.
I got taken in by Greitz in the beginning. I was one of his most loyal followers and promoters, and I'll bet you that during my lecture tours, I probably built up his following more than anybody else ever has, and I have regretted that so much over the years because he took me in, too. And when I found out who and what he really was and what he was really doing, I was literally sick with myself for having done what I did without, and you see, I very seldom ever would back anyone without thoroughly investigating them, and I didn't do it. I failed in my own promise to myself because I just did not believe that an Army officer with that kind of record would be trying to pull the wool over my eyes. And so I get sucked in, and I regret it.
I felt the same way about Linda Wagon. She came, and she presented me with documents. She presented me with a chronology. I ran her chronology. And I had one person call up and say, Clay, did you investigate what she said? And I said, well, I saw the documents. They said, no. Did you investigate what she said? And I said, no, I didn't, but I will. I will correct that error. Immediately after I made that announcement on radio, Bo Greitz, Linda Wagon got on, and suddenly I was a Hell's Angel, a California drug dealer.
They began attacking you simply because you said you were going to investigate.
That's right. And I called up on Bo's show.
You must have scared the hell out of him.
I said, Bo, what is going on? What? I haven't got the first piece of documentation. I haven't made the first phone call. All I've done is say that I'm going to investigate. I would assume that you would be happy that I was going to investigate this, because if everything she said is true, I'll simply
validate it.
And
yeah.
Validate it.
Yeah.
And from that day on, up until he shot himself, he attacked me. Every day
he made some
remark about human sewage lower than whale droppings, and
he got that from me. Lower than whale droppings. He heard me say that about him. not about him actually, but something that he had done.
So I did do the investigation, and I did it in a very methodical way. I called the principal of the school where the children go to school.
Uh-huh.
I talked to and got the documentation from all of the court cases that she had. I talked to the police in 2-3 cities. I talked with the heads of the child welfare divisions, children's youth and families. You know, I talked to everybody. I even talked to her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the documentation I got showed that it didn't clear her husband. You know, of any allegations,
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't there. But he did show up to every court case, every court docket. He attended every hearing, every assessment.
These are all state proceedings.
Right. Yeah. And he talked with the psychiatrist. He met with the doctors. He brought the children in after the FBI rescued the children.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to her friends. I talked to the people that had been with her before she ever met him.
They have some stories to tell.
Oh, they do. And she came out, and the investigation was about her. It wasn't about Bo Greitz. Bo was just a chapter in the story because he had gone there and been arrested for attempted kidnapping.
Uh-huh.
So he had to be in the story, but it wasn't an attack on Bo. As a matter of fact, in that issue, I tried to leave.
Well, I read it all. You were very fair about everything, and just presented the facts, which are easily verifiable. I mean, it's not hard to do.
No, it's not.
There is a trail of paper and evidence and testimony and everything in the Linda Wagon case that anybody can get their hands on. It's not hard at all.
The whole thing started when she simply didn't go to court.
Mm-hmm.
she, instead of going to court and abiding by what the court said, like all of us have to do if we go through a divorce, she took the outlaw way out. She ran. She kidnapped the children. She took them without authority. And she left. And the FBI had to track her down. You know, they were given back to the father. Now, she'd been with this guy for 5 years with no charges of sexual abuse, no problems in the city where they lived. It wasn't until he filed for divorce after 5 years that the abuse allegations came out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
in this day of everybody's a victim and political correctness, a lot of women have learned to use these things in order to get what they want, it's not
75%.
Yeah,
according to studies, and we published the studies in the same issue just to give people an understanding of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I just left a friend of mine in Phoenix. He's going through a divorce. I've known this guy since he was 17 years old and went to work for me. I mean, he absolutely idolizes his wife. He idolizes his three children. And she alleged child abuse against him. No way it could ever happen. She wants a divorce. She wants half the company. Or she wants all of the company. And she wants control of the children. And as soon as a woman does that, they come up with these abuse charges.
Sure. And nowadays, a woman doesn't have to prove anything she says. All she has to do is allege it, and she usually gets exactly what she wants.
That's right. And Linda might have got away with it.
Is that justice?
No.
Not at all. That's what you call political correctness, socialist bullshit is what it is.
So, you know, the bottom line on this is that she had the chance to resolve all of this in court.
Uh-huh.
And she failed to show up for court again. Lost a $20,000 bond. Somebody posted that bond for her. Somebody gave her the money and advanced her the money and loaned her or gave it to her as a donation to get her children, you know, to help her get the children,
mm-hmm.
and to do it legally in the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she, again, didn't show. Mm-hmm. Became a fugitive again.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I lost a lot of respect for Bo again. Is the fact that he was going to go out and wanted Eric Rudolph to turn himself in to go before the courts, turn himself in to go, come with me, Eric.
Greitz had no intention of finding Eric Rudolph. That was a publicity stunt, if I've ever seen one in my life, to get him back in the front pages of the newspapers to portray himself with his megalomania as the big American hero. He had no intention whatsoever, and I got to tell you, it's a good thing he didn't run upon Eric Rudolph, because I think Eric Rudolph would have blown his head off. Tell you the truth. Now I'm not
a full load. Huh?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Eric Rudolph is right in doing what he's doing. I don't know anything about it, but I am telling you that I do know Bo Greitz, and that's exactly what Bo Greitz was doing.
Well, I'll tell you, most people that I've talked to certainly feel that if a Green Beret of his experience had wanted to actually kill himself, he certainly would have been able to accomplish.
There's no doubt about it. There's not a military person in the world who would shoot himself in the chest to kill himself. There's only one way to really kill yourself, and every person who's ever known anything about death and dying and war and guns knows that you stick it in your mouth and you blow the bottom off your brain stem, and that's the only sure way to make sure that you're going to die. And even when you do it that way, you might live another couple of hours, even though you're never going to say anything or know what's going on around you. That's the truth, and Bo Greitz knows that. Shot himself in the chest?
Well,
police! Spare me the crap! Because maybe, that's what it is.
Maybe he just wanted to follow in Admiral Borda's footsteps.
Yeah, Admiral Borda killed himself by shooting himself twice in the chest. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. 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 Want to buy a bridge? I had a bridge. Want to buy some underwear?
Well, it's a... I said today, if anybody attends another lecture at the Preparedness Expos with Bo Greitz. They need to have their head examined.
I used to lecture at all the Preparedness Expos. Did you know that?
I did not.
You know why I don't now?
Why?
Because I get up and told the truth. And someone, after my lecture, asked a question about Bo Greitz, and I answered him honestly. Bo Greitz went and complained to the management of the Preparedness Expo and told them that they had to get rid of William Cooper, that William Cooper couldn't say those things. And they came to me and told me that I had to not answer the questions honestly. If somebody asked me about Bo Greitz, I was to dodge the question. And I told him that I thought that this was Americana. This was a place where Americans came and spoke and where people could ask questions and get honest answers. And he told me, no, you can't do that anymore. I said, in that case, since neither you nor Bo Greitz believe in freedom of speech, when I'm up there talking, I'll say whatever I want. And if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to give them an honest answer. I refuse to speak at your expos anymore. And I told Dan, who runs the thing, I told him, I said, you'll never see me here ever again. And every year he sends me an invitation and a copy of the Preparedness Journal, and every year I throw him in the trash can.
Well, I called him up today, and I asked him.
Dan Chittick. Chittick is his name.
I asked them if they were going to still allow Bo Greitz to speak there, even after he turned a gun on himself.
Oh, of course he will.
And they said yes. They're going to allow him to speak.
Well, it's like I always said, the American people will get exactly what they deserve.
We have Bill Clinton.
Get exactly what they deserve. Oh, yes, sir. They certainly will. And they are getting exactly what they deserve. Tell us about your magazine. When did you start this? And why?
I started this 4 years ago when I first came to New Mexico. I originally came to New Mexico to handle the PR for the revival of the Indian Motorcycle Company. And
what a great motorcycle.
Well, it certainly was a great motorcycle.
That's what I'm talking about.
However,
I've never seen a new one. Do they make them again?
Well, a gentleman by the name of Wayne Bachman almost did it. I mean, at least he said he was going to do it.
They're the most beautiful motorcycles that have ever been manufactured in the history of machinery, as far as I'm concerned.
He created a couple of prototypes for a revival of the Indian. He raised a lot of money, but unfortunately, he took some of the money, and bought a safe, and then took the rest of the money that was supposed to go for tooling equipment and put that inside the safe.
Put the safe on the truck and left.
That's right. Well, you know, he was still trying to raise even more money, and when I found out that the motorcycle didn't run, he got up and lied about it.
Uh-huh.
I knew I was there. I was director of public relations,
uh-huh.
And the motorcycle didn't run. So instead of telling people the truth, well, Cyril Batten built the motors and they're defective, and we're going to send them back and get new ones done, which would have been the truth,
uh-huh.
and it's what he could have done.
Yeah,
he got up and told people, well, the DOT. And it almost reminds me of Bo Greitz. The DOT told me that I couldn't start this motorcycle up.
You sound just like
him. They told me I couldn't start this motorcycle up, or that I would be fined $1 million. So I called up the DOT and they laughed. And they said, we'd put every drag strip out of business in the world if that was true. And so I wrote the story, and I published, that story was published in Motorcycle Industry and Easy Rider magazine, and Wayne Bachman no longer could get investors,
mm-hmm.
in the Indian Motorcycle Company. So I was out of a job again. The only time in my life, you know, maybe two or three times in my life I ever worked for somebody else, but I have this thing. If I can't tell the truth, I'm going to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I don't care who it hurts. I don't care, whose toes I step on. I tell the truth.
And that's my motto. I don't care who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me, I'm going to say it.
Oh, I've
and a lot of times it does hurt me.
I've coughed myself. Some of my biggest advertisers, back in the motorcycle magazine that I published before the Free American, I found out that people were cheating customers, and cheating the average person on the street, and they were buying a whole centerfold, color centerfold in my magazine. And I ran the story and exposed them. So I've got a history of that. I started the Free American about 4 years ago as a newspaper. Back in August of last year,
I remember when it was a newspaper.
We switched over to the glossy format so I could get it on the bookstore stands and into the bookstores. I do have a national distributor that handles it, and we got it in, and it's still selling in the bookstores. Sells every month in the bookstores.
How many do you print?
8,000 to 10,000 every month.
Okay.
About 4,000 goes through bookstores, 2,000 subscribers, and that's growing at a pretty rapid rate now. And then we do shows like the Preparedness Expo, Soldier of Fortune, Gun Show in Pomona next in November.
Pomona. The Pomona Fairground.
That's right. And we'll be there in
November. You saw the 58 Chevy outside.
Uh-huh.
That's where I bought it, the Pomona Fairground.
So We travel around the country, then we run back to Bingham, New Mexico, the smallest town in New Mexico still on the map. It's a town so small that when we moved there, we doubled the population.
And it's still on the map.
It's still on the map.
Even though the population doubled.
That's right.
Wow.
We're also about 15 miles from the Trinity site, which may explain why it's the smallest town still on the map.
Have you been out there?
Yes.
Have you seen the
obelisk?
Yeah.
Got pictures of it on my wall.
The core that was blown up out of that's pretty spooky, actually.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, tell us about what you publish in this magazine.
Well,
what goes in here?
I read just about everything that I get my hands on, and when I find the stories that I think illustrates, you know, a lot of it may be from the New York Times, it may be from the man on the street, but if it has anything to do and it echoes truth and shows the truth, then it goes in the magazine.
You found something in the New York Times that was true?
Usually on page 23.
Oh, okay. I understand that. I never get back that far. I've never been to page 23. I mean, I get disgusted before I get there.
Well, so people pull it off. I've got people that send me stories from all over the country. And it always has my intro, which is my opinions, and then everything else is facts. You know, of course, we have Dr. Lynn Horowitz did a story for us back in here in September on vaccinations. We've run quite a few stories on the forced vaccinations. Mm-hmm. All of our troops are now being inoculated with anthrax. At least two of those batches have proven to be contaminated.
The latest thing out of the Pentagon now is that soldiers will not be forced to take it if they refuse.
That's
you know what's going to happen with those soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they won't be forced to take it, they're going to find themselves on permanent KP duty, are cleaning out latrines for the rest of their career.
That's right.
That's what that means, folks. I was in the military for a lot of years, and both the Air Force and the Navy, and I can tell you that's exactly what that means.
That's right.
Yeah.
We in this particular issue that you've got here, the September issue, We did a story on the extremist right, an overview. Now, this was a document, official document, put out by the New Mexico Division of Law Enforcement.
Yes.
It's completely gleaned, as a matter of fact, back in the references, in the index, every fact, so-called fact in this whole thing, was put out by the ADL.
The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, one of the most subversive, criminal, lying, propaganda-ridden organizations that there is in
the country. The only real
and racist. blatantly racist.
The only real hate organization that I've ever run across.
With the exception
of Morris D's.
Southern Poverty Law Center. Yes.
In this document, this official document, all the sources were from the ADL and the SPLC.
Yeah.
And we...
Now, folks, don't get confused. The ADL is not Jews. Don't make that comparison. The ADL is no more Jews than the Aryan nation is white. And make sure that you understand it. They're both two peas in the same pod, as far as I'm concerned, and they're both despicable organizations.
Controlled opposition.
Yes.
The Aryan nation says something blatantly racist. The ADL takes that quote. I mean, they probably have the same writers. You know, the same people are pulling two paychecks here because they feed on each other.
Yes, they do.
They feed on each other.
Absolutely.
And then they try to take it and lump it in.
Hegel would be frothing at the mouth with glee. He would be so happy to see this stuff.
Hegel is looking up at them.
You all know who Hegel is. If you have a college diploma, I know you know who Hegel is, because the only thing they teach in American colleges today is Marx, Hegel, and Kant. That means can't be free.
That's
that's a little play on words. There really was a guy named Kant who invented this big philosophy, whom the socialists have married with Marx and Hegel into the most bastardized, completely incredible philosophy that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, don't forget to throw Maynard Keynes in there.
Well, he has a little bit to do with it, but not as much as those three, I guarantee you.
But just to make a long story short, we did get this document recalled. The governor, I told him, I said, look, you might, before you know you go labeling me a right wing extremist, you might want to find out who some of my subscribers are, like Governor Johnson of New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
chief of his security division,
mm-hmm.
and then even I talked to the criminal investigative division, and he said, well, I read your magazine too. So we did get a recall. But
I'm supposed to be a right-wing terrorist fundamentalist militia dude Christian type guy that's just, you know, I'm out to kill everybody.
This document, I mean, they linked Christians. I mean, not just a specific group of Christians. They linked Christians, ranchers. I mean, the New Mexico wool growers wrote a letter demanding the retraction
mm-hmm.
of this. The Wise Use Programs
mm-hmm.
wrote a letter. Mm-hmm. You know, the Christian churches wrote letters. I mean, this was probably the biggest goof-up that the New Mexico law enforcement
had. Well, you know, all those ranchers are anti-Semitic. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
They're all racist. They want to kill everybody, you know. And
you know what?
Besides that, they're giving AIDS to all our cows.
I got lumped onto their list back with false patriots, back with armed and dangerous, simply because I suggested in one of my newspapers that people should read the Protocols of Zion.
They should. And if they've never read it in their life, they should read it.
People, you know, just because you read the Communist Manifesto doesn't make you a communist.
No.
Just because you read Mein Kampf, which
doesn't make you a Nazi.
That's right. You know, I mean, those books should be required reading if there wasn't a conspiracy to limit the American people,
yeah.
the knowledge of the American
yeah.
people, the ability of the American
yeah.
people to recognize
yeah.
what these forms of government are.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
How can you know what Nazi means if you don't read Mein Kampf?
That's right.
How can you know what the Protocols of Zion are all about and all of this debate about them are if you've never read them?
You know, I have never judged anyone.
How can you know what democracy is unless you read the great tomes on democracy? How can you know what a republic is supposed to be unless you read the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers? How do you know what America is if you never read the Constitution for the United States of America?
I said this is probably one of the comments on the state of education here. I was 17 years old when I took an oath to uphold the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time limit on that. But I was 45 before I ever read it.
Actually, the president takes an oath to uphold to the best of his ability, we took an oath to protect and defend.
Against all enemies, foreign
and domestic.
And foreign.
Yes.
I like to put the domestic first because they're closer.
Well, they're the only real enemy we have today.
That's right.
To tell you the truth.
You know,
there is no enemy without that can attack, physically attack the United States.
We have no enemies as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
if you ask the rest of the world, we're the enemy.
That's right.
If you want to
know. I had one gentleman call in, and we were talking about Red China, and Clinton selling all our secrets to Red China.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something about those damn chinks. And I said, wait a minute, just stop right there. The Chinese people are the victims here. The Chinese people are being oppressed. The Chinese people are not our enemy.
No.
That's the government ploy. That's the, you know, the term gooks and Japs and krauts all came.
Zipperheads and.
That all came to from, that was propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
To make us believe that these people were our enemies, so we'd go out and kill them.
Sure.
We should have, when we were all armed and all over the battlefield, we should have turned the guns on the leaders here.
Okay, hold on for just a second. I must change the tape. I'm going to remember tonight. Here we go.